Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Perhaps one of the greatest tightrope walkers in the world is a man by the name of Charles Blondin. On June 30th, get this, 1859, okay? 1859, he became the first person to walk across a tightrope stretched over Niagara Falls. It was 160 feet above the falls and a quarter of a mile long. Altogether in his career, he made that journey 17 times. Seven times he walked across. And here's the thing, each time after the first, he did another different kind of crossing, a spectacular feat he combined with crossing it. Once he did it in a sack. Once he did it on stilts. He did it blindfolded, on a bicycle, in the dark. Once he even carried a stove and cooked an omelet in the middle of the tightrope and he ate it, if you can believe that or not. On one occasion, he crossed over pushing a wheelbarrow. And upon reaching the other side, you know, everyone's just clapping and cheering. It's been said that the people were louder, the crowd was louder than the falls. And Blondin says, "Hey, how many of you think I can push a person in a wheelbarrow across the falls?" And the people just went wild. "Yeah, yeah, you can do it. You're the world's greatest tightrope walker." And he says, "Great, who wants to get in?" And the story goes that nobody took him up on it. And friends, that illustration, I think, is really a perfect illustration as we're wrapping up our series today about the Christian atheist. And for those of you who've missed the series, you can go back and go to casperfaith.com, our media page. You can get caught up on it. But maybe if this is your first time here and you're saying, "A Christian atheist, what in the world is that? You know, I've heard of a Christian, I've heard of an atheist, but what's a Christian atheist?" Well, friends, an atheist is someone who believes that God does not exist, believes there is no God. And as a result of it, atheists live as if there is no God. Now, a Christian atheist is someone who believes in God, but lives as if God doesn't exist. And so far, we have looked at three different areas. In week one, we talked about people who believe in God, but do not know God. Week two, we talked about those who believe in God, but do not fear Him. Last week, we talked about people who believe in God, but say, "You know what? I don't want to go overboard with this Christianity. I don't want to get too radical, too fanatical. I just want to have a comfortable Christianity." And this morning, we're going to talk about, and this is in your notes for those who want to take notes today on the back of your worship program, "I believe in God, but I don't fully trust Him." I believe in God, but I don't fully trust Him. God, I believe you can push the wheelbarrow with someone in it over Niagara Falls. You can do the impossible. I know you can do it. I believe that. But Lord, don't you dare ask me to get into that wheelbarrow. I want to keep my 2 feet on the ground, because when my feet are on the ground, I'm in control of where I'm going. If I put myself in the wheelbarrow, I have no control, and I have to fully, completely trust you. And I think there is a lot of Christians today where we believe in God. God, you can do the impossible, but then there's situations that come up, and we don't fully trust Him. For example, our kids. I know some people say, "You know, God, I trust you for salvation, I believe that, but my kids, their present and their future, their agenda, what's going to happen, I've got that all planned out. I'll take care of that, God. I know how to do that." Or there are some people that say, "You know what? Yeah, okay, God, I'll give you some time. I'll minister. I'll work in the nursery. I'll work in the food pantry. I'll run sound, or I'll sing on the stage. You know, I'll get involved in ministry, but don't you dare talk to me about my money. My money is mine, okay?" Or maybe we say, "Okay, yeah, God, I'll give you some money, but I'm going to tell you how much and when and where and how. I'm in charge, and only if it works for me and convenient for me will I do that." And I believe that there is a problem that we struggle with today, And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. It says, when the Lord sent you out of Kadesh Barnea, the children of Israel are getting ready for the first time to go into the promised land. And so Israel, they're getting ready to enter the promised land a second time, the first time they blew it, and God's reminding them what they did the first time. This is what it says, verse 23. When the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I've given you. But you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. Israel believed in God, but they didn't trust him. They didn't obey him. Their problem was a problem many of us grapple with. In your notes, what is our problem? It's a partially surrendered life. It is a partially surrendered life. God, there's some things I'm going to trust you with, but there's other things I'm not going to trust you with. And I want to read this morning Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 from the PSV version, okay? It says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, and you can make your own path straight. Now, some of you say, Craig, that doesn't sound right. That's not biblical. It doesn't say that. Well, that's because it's in the PSV, the partially surrendered version. Now, you might be laughing and saying, hey, that's funny. You know, that's a good joke. That doesn't really exist. But you know what? It may not exist on paper, but the way many followers of Jesus live, it exists in their heart. God, I will trust in you with some areas of my life, some things I want to hang on to. I'm going to try to figure this out and lean on my own understanding. I will know you in some of my ways, but in other of my ways, I'm going to do what I know to do, what I think is best. And this morning, friends, God wants you and I to come to a place where we fully and completely trust him. Because what we do is we say, God, I'll give you something, but not everything. And if that's you this morning, you are living the partially surrendered life. And God is calling all of us. You see, if I'm going to be a Christian, then I need to live like God exists, and I need to trust him with everything. If I'm a Christian atheist, then I'm going to be a partially surrendered believer. God has a purpose for you in your notes, and you will never fully experience it if you're holding back. There's no way you and I can totally experience everything God has for us if we're holding back and not trusting him. If you're holding anything back from God, what you've done is you have built a brick wall in your journey with God, and it's an obstacle keeping you from reaching what God has in store for you. I think a lot of us, we may remember that story when we were kids. We read about Peter getting out of the boat and walking on the water. I don't know about you, but I think that'd be pretty cool. Won't that be neat to walk on water? Friends, for you and I to walk on water, we have to get out of the boat. And the thing is, when we don't fully trust God, we're staying in the boat and saying, God, no way, I can't trust you. I'm not going to get out of the boat. And I think some of us, we struggle with that, but here's a hope we have. God gives us encouragement. There is a dad that was mentioned in Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and 24. And this dad, he comes to Jesus because his son is possessed by a demonic spirit. And this spirit is trying to kill his son. It's thrown him in the water. It's thrown him in the fire. It's tried to destroy this little boy. And this father is distraught. And he says, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. That's what he says to Jesus. He tried the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do it. And he says, Lord, if you can do anything. And notice Jesus' response, if you can, said Jesus. Jesus is thinking, hey, I breathe the galaxies into existence in a moment. I created everything that you see. And you're saying, If you can do anything about this situation, when I have created the world, the universe, and everything in it, if you can, and this is what Jesus says, everything's possible for the one who believes. Everything is possible. And this is what the Father said. Immediately he exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my belief. And what does Jesus say to him? What does Jesus do? Does he say, man, because you've got unbelief, you've blown it? Does he say, get out of here? Does he berate him and make fun of him? No. You know what he does? Jesus heals his son. And I think that's an encouragement to us. For us who are here this morning and we say, God, yeah, I believe you can do it, but I've got some unbelief. I've got some doubt. I've been praying and I haven't seen you come through. God, it doesn't feel like it. Maybe you forgive everyone else, but I don't feel like you've forgiven me. God, I've prayed and asked for an answer to prayer for direction for my life, and it doesn't come through. And so, God, I'm doubting. I haven't seen you work. And here's the thing. God wants us to get honest with him about what we don't believe. He wants us to get honest with him about what we don't trust him in. And so today, what I want you to do is I want you to get honest. Because here's the thing. Honesty opens yourself up to God's power to operate in your life. Honesty opens yourself up. As long as you hold it back, you're closing God off. But if you say, God, I release it to you. This is an area I need help. You open yourself up to God's power. God, thing you're holding on to. You're white knuckling it. You're saying, God, I can't trust you in this area. And you've been holding on to it. I want you to grab a pen, and in your notes, I want you to write it down in this sentence. It says, I don't fully trust God, blank. What is it you don't fully trust God in? Just take a few moments right now. If there's something you're not trusting in, grab a pen from the back of your seat and write it down. Maybe it's your kids. God, I don't trust God with my kids. I'm worried about my kids. Some of you, you've got fear and anxiety. Every day you wake up, there's just this gripping, paralyzing anxiety in your life, and you're struggling with that. Some of you have a hard time trusting God with finances, trusting God with your future. Some of you have a life-controlling issue, some kind of addiction, and you're having a hard time. You're trying to do it on your own. Friends, you can't do it on your own. You need God to work. What is the thing that you're not trusting God for? Write that down. Because I believe that God wants to set you free this morning. And here's the thing. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. And until you write the truth down, until you confess it and say, God, this is what I'm struggling with, you can't find freedom. Honesty is the beginning of liberation. So the question is, if we're not supposed to be partially surrendered, because that's a Christian atheist, if we need to have this fully trusting heart, how do you and I develop that in our lives? How do we develop that? We're in the time we have remaining, we're going to break that down and unpack that so we can be a people who come to a place where we're fully trusting God. I'm going to read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. That is the scripture that I read a few moments ago and grossly distorted it, okay? We're going to see what the Bible really says. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all, say all with me, all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Some translations say, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I think probably one of the most important words in this passage is that word submit, or that word acknowledge. In the original language, that word is yada. Everybody say yada. Not Yoda, but yada, okay? And this is what yada means, and we've got it in your notes there, so you don't have to write this down, but it means to know and submit by observing, reflecting, experiencing, and being instructed. And when you think about everything that you have trusted Jesus with, that is come as a result of what you have learned, of what you have observed, of what you've thought about, what you've reflected on, and what you've experienced. And as you've experienced and seen and learned these things about Jesus, then you have trusted him. And so the key to having a fully trusted heart is to get to know God more in all the different spheres, the spheres that we're having struggles in, is to get to know what God says, how God feels, what God's way is about those areas that we are struggling in. And the thing is, it says God will make our paths straight. I don't know about you, but I like a straight path. It's easier than a crooked path, the winding path. And here's the thing. If you've got chaos in your life and you want God to straighten the path out to make it straight and level and easy, you can't get rid of the chaos until you fully trust Christ. When you fully trust Christ, that removes the chaos from your life. Now, notice I didn't say it gets rid of all your problems, but God can give you a peace and assurance that he's walking with you through those problems. As you know Christ, he makes your path straight. And this knowledge is not an intellectual knowledge. It's not 2 + 2 = 4. This is an experiential knowledge. In fact, that word yada, that's the same word that's used in Genesis when it says, Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore a son. That's the word, Adam knew Eve, Adam yada Eve. It's the same word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him, know him, yada him. And here's the thing, God wants you and I to experience him. He's not just something you read about in the Bible, not just something you read about in a theology book, not something you hear about, but God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. And here's the thing. For Adam to know Eve and Eve to bear a child and to bring forth life, what did Eve have to do? She had to be open and receptive to what Adam wanted. She had to submit to his desire. And when she says, okay, Adam, yes, then she bore a son. And that's the thing. For you and I to really have God birth his plans, to birth his things in us, for us to experience the life, the abundant life that Christ has, then we need to be open and receptive to what God wants. We need to say yes to his desires and to submit to him in all of our ways. And as we learn to do that, then we develop this fully trusting heart. Our tendency, if you're taking notes, write this down. Our tendency, we want God to prove himself so that we can trust him. God wants us to trust him so he can prove himself. When Peter's in the boat, I'm sure Peter would have said, okay, Jesus, can you raise up the tree stumps so I can see them? Because if I see the tree stumps, then I know I can walk on the water. I mean, I think that's probably what I would have said. Okay, God, how do I know if I get out of the boat? God, prove it to me. Prove it to me that I can trust you. But friends, you can read all over the Bible, and that's not how faith works. Faith doesn't work by God proving himself. And then we say, okay, you've proved it. I trust you. Faith happens when we put our faith in the unseen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Faith comes first before we see it. You know what we do? Yes, Lord, I will pray for my sick coworker when they ask me to pray for them. But no way am I going to go up to them and will I offer to pray for them. Yes, God, I will witness to someone if they ask me a question about Jesus, ask me a question about Christianity. But no, I'm not going to share anything about you. I'm not going to share how you've healed me. I'm not going to share the goodness of God. I'm not going to share what you're doing in your life. God, you need to make the first step. They need to come to me. You can say, okay, God, yes, I'm comfortable with tithing. I will tithe as soon as I get that check from Publishers Clearinghouse, you know, that I won the $10 million sweepstakes, then I'll start to tithe. But that's not how faith works. Because you don't prove God and then trust him. God wants us to trust him so that he can prove. Because here's the thing. When you and I put our faith in God, then God can do things supernaturally. If God's already done it, then there's nothing to trust. That's not even trust. God's already done it in the natural. It goes on to say in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. My daughter and I, we recently saw the movie Lion King. How many have seen Lion King? Fun movie. And in that movie, they have a lot of beautiful animals, and one is the African impala, okay? The African impala is an amazing animal. It can leap, it can jump 10 feet high. And if it has a running start, it can jump 30 feet in distance, okay? But the African impala, zoos keep them contained by having a 3-foot solid wall. Because here's the thing, the impala will not jump if it cannot see where its feet will land. And so this 3-foot solid wall is keeping this animal that can jump 3 times higher and way over it, it's keeping them imprisoned because the impala cannot see where it's landed, so it stays imprisoned. And friends, that's what happens to you and I. We say, God, I want to see it. I want to see it. I'm not going to jump until I see it. I need bondage and whatever it is. Give it to me. And as a result, we stay imprisoned in fear and bondage and whatever it is that we are not trusting God with. Will you trust him? I want to throw out a 48-hour challenge, okay? It is 10:57. In the next 48 hours, what is that thing that you wrote down? I don't trust God, blank. What do you don't trust God with? In the next 48 hours, I want you to release that to God. Some of you, in a few moments, at the close of our service, you might say, yeah, I'm ready for that. Some of you say, I've been hanging on to this a long time. But I want to challenge you in these next 48 hours that the thing that you're holding on to, you say, God, I can't release it to you. I can't trust you. I can't get in the wheelbarrow. I want you to release it to him. Release it to him. As you and I begin to trust God, we are going to get to know three things. You can write these down. You're going to get to know God's goodness, God's love, and God's faithfulness. The moment that you step out in faith and you trust God, and you give him your whole heart, you're going to know God's goodness, God's love, and God's faithfulness. We see this taught in Psalm 100, verses 3 to 5. We've got that reference in your notes, so you can go back and you can look at this. You can read this. But this is what it says in verse 3. Know. That word know, you want to guess what it is? Yada. That's right. The same word in Proverbs 3, 5. Know, yada, that the Lord is a wimp. Oh, wait, it doesn't say that. That he is what? God. Know the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Say it with me. We are his. So, friends, that means you belong to God. And if you belong to God, he cares about you. He loves you. He's not going to treat you bad. He's going to take care of you. You can trust him. And it goes on to say that we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. You're going to know God's goodness, and his love endures forever. You're going to know God's love, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. You're going to know his faithfulness, and not just you, but the generations after you. As you become a person of faith, you're going to leave a legacy for your grandkids. your great-grandkids, your great-great-grands, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great. I mean, it goes on. When you trust in the Lord, when you know Him, when you experience Him, you're leaving a legacy for your children and their children and their children, and they're going to know incredible things in their lives. Now, in this passage, I think is a key that shows us how to die to being a Christian atheist, how to defeat the Christian atheist mindset. What is it? It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving in your hearts and enter His courts with praise. We are His sheep. So, God is our shepherd. We are His sheep. Let me ask you this. Do you know when was the time in the Bible when the sheep entered the gates of the temple and into the courts of the temple? When did the sheep come into the gates and the courts? When they were going to be sacrificed. Now, I don't know about you, but being sacrificed, and it says, enter the gates with thanksgiving and the courts with praise. Hallelujah! I get to be sacrificed. That doesn't sound very enjoyable. But what did Paul teach us in Romans? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is acceptable and pleasing to God. Friends, the key to overcoming doubt, to overcoming being a Christian atheist, to fully trusting God, as you say, God, I am going to sacrifice myself. I'm going to fully surrender myself, whatever you want, and I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to thank you, because I know when I put myself fully in your hands, those are good hands to be in. You can trust God. Are you willing to sacrifice, to lay down what you want, what you think, and say, I'm not going to know what I want. I want to know God. Some of us, we treat God like a barber, okay? We go to the barber shop, we sit in the chair, and we tell him, okay, I want you to take a little bit off the sides. Make it longer here, shorter here. Some of us say, I want you to color my hair, make it lighter, make it darker. Some of us bring in a picture and say, I want it to look like that. Make me look like Jennifer Lopez or, you know, Tom Cruise or something like that. We've got the idea in our mind. We give the barber the direction that we want the haircut to go. Very few of us sit in the chair and say, you know what? My head is your head. You can do whatever you want. Whatever length, whatever color, whatever style, whatever zigzag. I mean, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Most of us would never think of giving our stylist, our barber, free rein to do whatever we want, or whatever they want. We want to keep our hand in it and control it a little bit. And you know what? That's what we do with God. We come to God in prayer and we say, oh God, do this, do that, do this, do that. God, oh, I don't like that. Nope. God, and here's the thing, friends. Jesus is here today. You maybe don't realize this, but you're in a barber shop. And each and every one of you, you're sitting in a barber's chair. And Jesus, He wants to style your life. There are some things He wants to cut out. There are some things He wants to highlight and make stand out. And He's saying, will you trust me? Know my goodness. I died on the cross so that you would not go to hell. know my love. I want a relationship. I don't want this mental. I want you to yada me, to know me intimately, to come close to me, not to resist me, not to say I'm not open to what you want. I want you to have a full openness and that we can be close and be together. I want you to know my faithfulness, that I will never, never let you down. As the prophecy came earlier during worship, the eyes of the Lord run all over the earth. They're looking, He's looking for people. God hasn't given up on you. God isn't going to let you down. You can depend on Him. The question is, will you give Him complete control? Will you sit in the chair and you say, Jesus, right now, right way, or right this day, have your way.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.